Avos Perk Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel 113, and another statement from Hillel. And we did not give a basic biographical sketch, but now it's really an opportune time to give that sketch because this Mishnah is unusual in that it is in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. And the reason for that is because Hillel started out in Bavel, in Babylonia, and he came to Israel relatively late, at the age of, say, 40 years old, say Chazal, in the hopes of learning from Shmaya of Talion, his Rebbeim. Now, Hillel, we know relatively little about him personally. He was extremely poor, that we do know. The famous story of Hillel not being able to pay even the entrance fee to the Beis HaMidrash and forced one day to sort of eavesdrop in from the skylight and almost freeze to death in the snow, sort of tells that story. Very interestingly, by the way, I think it's very well known. The Rambam in two separate places says that Hillel was a woodchopper, a chotev eitzim. It's actually mysterious. There is no obvious source anywhere in the Gemara or the like that Hillel was a woodchopper. So it's a bit of a mystery where the Rambam got that from. In any case, Hillel, later on, after Shmaya of Talion die, he retreats back to Bavel to teach over there. Back in Israel, the country is a shambles. At this point already, Herod has become the king of the Jews. Israel's been integrated into the Roman Empire. Herod rules the Iron Fist. He totally disempowers every Jew, certainly the Sanhedrin, which he, on his first day of the job, you know, killed 46 members of the Sanhedrin. And it's impossible to convene the Sanhedrin and function in a normal way. So instead of having a Nasi, there was these three brothers, the B'nai B'Seira, who took over that role effectively to be sort of like the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people. Come Erev Pesach, Hillel comes back to do his Korban Pesach. It's Erev Pesach fell out on the Shabbos. There was a question how to deal with the Korban on that day. The B'nai B'Seira couldn't answer the question. Hillel did have the answers. They realized Hillel's superiority in terms of mastering the Masorah, and they essentially, to their everlasting credit, conceded the role of Nasi to Hillel. We'll talk about Shammai, his counterpart, later on, but that's how Hillel rose to power. And he's speaking in Aramaic in our mission here for any number of reasons, either because that's how he spoke, or because this was said back when he was in Bavel, or even when he came to Israel and he could speak perfectly fine Hebrew. But since the general population in Israel spoke Aramaic, the scholars, the Talmid Chacham, spoke Hebrew as well, but the general populace speak Aramaic, and Hillel wants his teachings to be understood. Whatever the case is, here in our Mishnah, we have Hillel saying four things. They seem to be pretty closely related, and they're in Aramaic. So let's do them one at a time. It says, Hu Hayo Omer, he was in the custom of saying, Hillel. First of all, Nagad Shema Avad Shemei. The word Nagad in Aramaic means something like, you know, from like Lashon Mashicha, to spread out. So it means either to one whose name, Shema meaning his name in Aramaic, one whose name has spread far and wide, meaning his fame has now spread, or some learn it means that he causes his name to spread, meaning self-promotion. In both those cases, or either of those cases, Avad Shmei, it won't last long, his name will be lost. I mentioned actually a couple of Mishnayos ago, Shmaya, Hillel's Rebbe, had said that you want to hate Rabbanos, and I quoted a Gemara Pesachim there, that Harabanos Mekaveres Es Ba'alea, that authority and lording over people, you know, buries the person who wields that authority. So the same kind of idea in the first shot is, you know, fame is a fleeting thing, and it actually causes one's own demise. The other approach, that it's one who causes his name to spread, so this is someone who's like you know, the self-promoter, the attention-getter. So this person probably falls under a slight different Chazal and Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Beis, which says, Kol mechazer al gadula, whoever chases after greatness, gadula borachas memenu, greatness will flee from him. The idea again being that nothing worse than a person who's full of himself that pushes everyone else away. There is an interesting third approach here, that it's not negad, but rather neged, like the word keneged, neged, and it's referring to Talmud Torah, one who learns for the sake of Shema, for the sake of becoming, you know, famous, prominence, getting honor. That's why he learns Torah. So that person will actually lose his name again. There are some who prefer that pshat, even though it's not how our version is violated, because you'll see the other three statements of Hillel are really consistent with that theme. okay, of Talmud Torah and not misusing the study of Torah. So there is a reason to think it's like that. At all events, you really see here really a reflection of Hillel's personality. Hillel was famed in the numerous stories in the Gemara for being exceptionally patient, exceptionally tolerant, humble. You know, he went by Hillel. He didn't even go by Rabbi Hillel, and so on. But many stories talk about how he was sort of impossible to get upset, no matter how disrespectful and maddening some people were. So this really is a reflection of Hillel's core value, and the Rambam echoes this in the Yad, that although a person should be in the middle path, there are two virtues one should sort of take in the extreme, and sort of be extreme in them, and that is humility and you know, slowness to get angry, both of which Hillel embodied, and he's speaking about that over here to some degree. One other point just to point out here is that the words Avad Shema, or Avad Shemei, is in the past tense, like he has lost his name, which is, it's a curiosity, right? It's not that he will lose his name, but his name is already gone. So it could be that it's as good as gone, so it's a certainty. It could be that it's just a turn of an idiom, much like in the modern Hebrew, you say, you're kvar higia, like I already got there, when it means you're almost there. Could be the same kind of thing, past tense. Whatever the case is, it's interesting. Now, the second of his four statements is Udolo Mosif Yasef. One who does not increase, he loses, or loses out, or is forgotten. So Kol Pshatim here again, what this is referring to. The simple understanding would be that he's Mosif, he increases in his Torah learning. I mean, even someone who's mastered the Torah, you never should stop learning, and you have to keep on going, lest you stop, and then you or your Torah will be lost. The word which Yasef, which I think is quite unfamiliar, has a reflection in the Psukim, also in the Tanakh as well. In Esther, in Megillat Esther, it says, "V'zichram lo Yasuf mizaram." Their memory of these days, the days of the miracles of Purim, lo Yasuf mizaram, will not be like forgotten or lost from the descendants. That's Esther Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Ches. So let's say my idea over here, to be forgotten, kinda. You'll forget your learning, or you yourself will be forgotten. There is another really interesting approach, which I like very much, actually, which is that it's not talking about just continuing to learn more and more, but rather, if you don't add to your learning in the context of the days getting longer. Remember, now we have electric lighting, and summer and winter, it's all the same to us, they have the same schedule. But in most of human history, most of the time of Chazal, certainly, the summer days were longer, winter days were shorter. So many before speak out that if you don't extend your window for learning during the summer days, that's going to cost you. That's certainly, if you have the opportunity to waste it and squander it, that's bad news. Nowadays, that's not relevant for us directly. But if you're in America, you have a Sunday. And even in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have Sundays really. But we do have occasional holidays. You do have like the second day of Purim and whatever. There are certain days where you just have a freebie, actually, like a public holiday, if you will, Chol HaMoed, and Shabbos, of course. And when you have those opportunities to learn more, you really should be learning more, taking opportunity to learn more on those times, or else the wasted opportunity will have a Amida Keneged Amida, says Hillel. There is another gears about another version that it's not Yasef to be lost or forgotten, but rather like Yesaf with an Aleph, which would mean like the pasuk says Yasef Aaron El Amav. You know, Aaron Hakohen was gathered to his people, like when he died. Again, the idea here being they should have collected in death. Okay, at all events, the point is clear, which is a person the same way in business. You want to keep on growing and growing and growing, and as soon as you stop growing, you start losing market share, you're on the way down to bankruptcy, to being out of business. So too in your spiritual developments, you got to keep going more and more and more. You can't rest on your laurels. As soon as you sort of just become complacent, immediately that is necessarily the beginning of the end of one's spiritual turn in the wrong direction, chas v'shalom. Okay. The third is, he says, Udulo Yalif Katala Chayav. Now here Yalif means like to learn and study. So like Yalfinan is a Gemara term I think people might know. One who doesn't study, he is like worthy of death. The idea here is this is talking about someone who really hasn't studied. The previous case was even if you mastered the Torah, yet the emosif. Keep going and add to your repository of Torah. Keep learning, keep growing. But here we're talking about if you haven't learned in the first place and you sort of squandered the opportunity, so really you, in a way, lose your schuskiyim, your right to be around, says Hillel, because the purpose of a person in this world, certainly of a Jew, is to grow in his Torah learning, in his connection to Hashem, his understanding of Hashem, his fulfillment of the Torah. And if you're not taking the opportunity to grow in that way and to learn more and more and grow as a human being, so who needs you here? We're put in this world to create a relationship with Hashem. If you're not investing in that, so then there's no point in you being around. Also, Rabbi Beryl Wine points out in his commentary an important point, which is that so much of assimilation into marriage and also anti-Semitism is really a direct consequence of Jews being ignorant of their tradition, of their way of life, of their ancestry, of their Torah, of their values. And one who's sort of essentially not learning is becoming just an ignoramus, is bringing upon himself the certainty of the end of his line in terms of intermarriage of his children and perhaps himself, assimilation, and perhaps also promoting anti-Semitism as well. So that is also why the rabbis use the Hillel here is such a strong term of katala chayev, of like, you know, chayevisa, of worthy of death. The Ritva speaks out, of course, it's just a guzma, it's just an exaggeration. No one's suggesting anyone should be killed for being ignoramus, but, you know, that's the point, is we're trying to be mizdarez, we're trying to inspire people to make an effort and learn, understand that the consequences of remaining ignorant of your Jewish heritage, ignorant of the Torah, etc., is the most egregious of crimes. It's not just like you have a prerogative and your prerogative not to study. No, the stakes are high. This is the purpose which you're put here, and if you fail to live up to that purpose, so then you'll be sorry, says Hillel. Okay, the last of the four is Udi Ishtamesh Besaga Chalaf, one who makes use of Betaga or Saga, Betaga the crown, meaning the crown of Torah. Chalaf will pass away. So the word taga is interesting. The bartender says it's an Arabic taga means a crown. Indeed, like the Yemenites have their mikros gadolos, they're like the collection of commentaries on the Chumash is called the Tag HaShalem. And like you have like the Taj Mahal, which is like the crown of the palace. It's related. So this idea of Taj means like Tag Taga, Taj means a crown. So this is the crown of Torah, the simple understanding. And the idea is that if one uses the Torah, the crown of Torah, for personal gain, for honor, for money and the like, so then that is chalaf, you know, that'll cause his demise. The word chalaf means like to exchange, like a chalipin is a kind of bartering. Or you like, if shalach chalif et zeh, can you, exchange this, exchange the butcher's knife. Is called the chalaf because it transforms the living cow to being a piece of meat, the agent of transformation. So this idea here, chalaf here means being switched out, sort of from being like a ben olam haba to a not ben olam haba. So that's the idea, sort of you're passing away and passing out of the good graces of where you ought to be. So the Rambam learns, he has quite a extreme position, which is it's essentially always forbidden to get any kind of benefit in this world from your Talmud Torah. Like, you can't get paid to be a teacher, to be a rabbi, to be a public servant, and the like. No, no, no. And the Rambam understands this is this mission over here. The Rambam, to his astounding credit, although he was sort of a selfless leader of the Jewish people in Egypt for most of his life, and a Dayan, and essentially the Gadol Hador, known far and wide. He never, ever took any money for anything he ever did, not a penny. For any of his services, he was supported by his brother until his mid-30s, and then after that, he became a doctor and supported himself. So that's the Rambam Shita, quite extreme. Most others don't learn that way, and that's not the Minhag in Klal Yisrael. They learn that the Mishnah is saying, if you'd be learning for the sake of honor and recognition and to make a living, that's unacceptable. You have to learn for the sake of, we talked about earlier on in the Masechta, for Lishma, as an expression of one's love and desire to get close to Hashem. But once a person becomes an accomplished scholar, if he can bring those services to Klal Yisrael and he's going to get paid for it as a teacher and the like, that is in fact, permitted, acceptable, and that's, you know, sort of a necessary, maybe necessary evil, but a necessary feature of our community, so that people who are expert in Torah can dedicate themselves to sharing that Torah, that wisdom, and helping the community in whatever they can as part of what it means to be their contribution to Klal Yisrael.